a vision, the meaning of first sentence of the mind phenomena, since I is grounded on the Tathagata. In other words, I mentioned the meaning of the ground on which the samsara is produced, from where samsara comes, how samsara is produced. At that time I mentioned I gave usually we understood samsara coming from the truth, absolute truth itself. But according to the practice, the absolute itself, it is impossible for us to think samsara coming from the absolute itself. So finally, the discourse on the awakening of the Mahayana faith gets the idea of Tathagatagarbha. Well, instead of, but this Tathagatagarbha is the teaching after investigating again and again the human life in reality, instead of human life in samsara, is analyzed philosophically or metaphysically and try to understand from where the samsara comes out. This is the attitude in this book toward the human being in this book. So Buddhism always directly faces human life, samsara, and reality as it is. That is the most important attitude for human life, what Buddhism always mentions. Because the Absolute itself is something which is very difficult to understand. So, logically or emotionally, it's impossible to know what the Absolute is. The other one, because it's very vast, very difficult. But we know that the Absolute itself is omnipresent. Wherever you may be, wherever you are, all sentient beings are exactly grounded on anyway, the Absolute Truth, are the same and one ground. And then it is possible for all sentient beings to be. Without this Absolute or the Truth, it's impossible for us, for all sentient beings to live. That is the Truth or the Absolute. But in Buddhism, we don't use the truth or absolute. Instead of those terms, we use suchness or thatness. Suchness, thatness is what it just is, something like that. Or as it is. That is the truth. So suchness and darkness is a little more concrete explanation of the truth or absolute feeling cross between human beings, human life. So if you use the truth or absolute, kind of pretty far away from us. But darkness or as it isness is pretty close to us. So that is a Buddhist term, thatness and abilityness. In Japanese we say shinyo, shin is truth, nyo is it, that. Looks like, it literally looks like. Two meanings. Nyo means two meanings. One is looks like, the other one is exactly something as it is. Exactly as it is. Total manifestation of something as it is. That is meaning of nyo, thatness. We say thatness in English. So, absolute truth is pretty difficult to say. If you point out this is the absolute, it's no longer absolute. So, that's why it's very difficult. Absolute or truth means one, oneness. Which two beings creating, two beings live together, existing, that is one, oneness. That is called truth or absolute. But it's very difficult to explain what absolute is. So very naturally, the absolute or truth is something like something. Something. Looks like a truth. Looks like a truth, but it's not truth. Looks like. But if we can experience the fish, birds, and sky, Dogen Zenji mentions in the Genjo Koan, birds and sky. Birds manifest itself, the oneness between the birds and the sky. That is oneness means the truth. But there are in the truth, the manifestation of, within the manifestation of the truth, there are two beings here, bird and sky. So, but if a bird flies, very naturally it's a bird creates oneness. Bird's life is really going in the absence. Becoming one always between birds and skies. If intellectually, if you see it, that there are two, birds, sky. So, but in terms of oneness, bird is not exactly bird. Bird is sky, sky is bird. So that's a bird, looks like a bird. But it's not bird. Sky. Sky looks like a sky, but it's not sky, because sky is exactly bird. So that's interconnection, interpenetration there. So that's why nyo means looks like, and also something manifested as it is, directly. that is new. Of sin, no? So, Totality of God, very naturally, from the totality of God, was inside produced. Means totality of God is another expression for the truth. Or for the ultimate pure nature of the mind, veiled and illusion. This is the Tathagata Gaba. Manifest, it is always the present in every being, tables, chairs, floors, flowers, in every being, we can see the truth. But that truth is not exactly absolute truth, because it is in every being. So it is kind of limits of the truth, limits of the truth. So that's why in the term of Tathagata, in the idea of the Tathagata, Gaba, truth is veiled in delusion. And delusion means already the truth is limited. The truth is manifested in every, in certain beings, tables, and human beings, birds, etc. So that's why is because there is no other way to know absolute itself. Without realizing the truth in every being. So that's why we say this book is called Find the Term to Tell It About. So Tathagata Gaba is teaching that all sentient beings are already a Buddha, regardless of whether you realize or not. Anyway, in terms of Buddha's eye, in terms of universal perspective, in the universal perspective, we are already Buddha. We are already Buddha. That is Tathagata Gaba. Not absolute truth or absolute truth. We are Buddha means you are Buddha. That is this is Buddha. The bell is Buddha. Flower is Buddha. Means all of Buddha means Tathagata Gaba. Regardless of whether you are conscious of it or not, it is the truth because in terms of Buddha's eye, in the universal perspective, this is the truth. That's why this book teaches us we are Buddha. saying about. So still a little bit the abstract term, philosophical term. Next, we have to understand what how Tathagata Gaga works in our human life. That's why next, this book has another term, Alavijñāna. So very natural, Vijñāna means mind, consciousness. So this book has another term, a different term, Alavijñāna, in order to explain how Tathagata Gaga works on us. Okay, so Tathagata Gaga, Alavijñāna is of course almost the same meaning as Tathagata Gaga, but Alavijñāna is closer idea, you know, of understanding Tathagata Gaga, more intimate expression or intimate term in order to understand what the Tathagata Gaga is. So, Alavijñāna is the consciousness of the which has two aspects. One is absolute, the other one is samsara. Samsara and absolute. Truth and absolute. And then this is mainly Alavijñāna is we focus on Alavijñāna focuses on a human life in reality. In other words, you have to face human life in reality, how it is going, what is human life. So very naturally, to tell the truth, if you look at your life, it's very difficult for us to believe that our life is really Buddha or the absence. So very naturally, if you look at your life, honestly, of the our life is really covered with illusion. That is called ignorance. So Alavijñāna is kind of has ignorance. If so, why is it that this discourse say mentions that samsara is produced by ignorance instead of by Tathagata Gaga? So why don't you say about samsara produced by ignorance? Because honestly, if you look at the human life is exactly covered with the ignorance. So this is also questions in the same as the absolute. But question is the ignorance is I mentioned before, ignorance is not all original sin. We usually consciously or unconsciously believe. The ignorance is not the original sin.
So in Buddhism, ignorance is no root, no root. So in the Vimalakirti Sutra, if you read the Vimalakirti Sutra, Vimalakirti mentions that the good comes from the no root, no root. The ignorance, any kind of delusions anyway, have a no root. And then finally the Bodhisattva asked the Vimalakirti, no root, from where no root comes. So finally Vimalakirti says no root comes from no root anyway. But we believe no root is somewhere, something which exists somewhere. But no root is exactly no root. So, ignorance is characterized by no root. In other words, we don't know from where it comes. So we say beginning. If it is a beginningless, I think it is endless also. So this is a very interesting point. Okay? Beginningless ignorance, an endless ignorance. We have to think about this one. So when if you think ignorance is kind of original sin, produced by somebody or something, at that time it's easy to ask somebody to adjust or to correct or to eliminate, to remove. But if there is no beginning, there is no one or nothing, you should ask to adjust. Nothing. Because it's beginning. Simultaneously, if it is beginning, simultaneously it is ending. So you don't know how it is going. So beginningless and endless is nothing to ask somebody or nothing to do for it. So this is an interesting point. But when the time is ripe and conditions are arranged, something happens. For instance, ignorance is the kind of energy which puts you in a deluded world constantly. While you are deluded, you don't understand how much you are deluded. So you don't realize. Just like a dream, or just like a sleep. If you sleep, you don't know you are sleeping. And also during the while you are sleeping, you cannot try to wake up. You cannot try to wake up. Because when you try to wake up, at that time you are wake up already. Because you get out from the sleep. So while you are sleeping, you don't know you are sleeping. But right in the middle of sleeping, if you can think that I try to wake up, at that time you are not sleeping. experience and you are conscious of it. So very naturally, you cannot try to wake up. But when something happens, when something there, and then wake up, you can wake up. That is in the Buddhism, in this is in man, the time and occasion, cause and secondary cause, and cause, first cause, secondary cause, and cause and condition. So jitetsu innen means the jit means the time, set means the occasion, in means the cause, nen means the condition. When the jitetsu innen are ripe and arranged, you can make. But how can you get jitetsu innen, time, occasion, and cause and condition? This is our practice anyway. When the time comes, you can wake up. When the time comes in the morning at the 4 o'clock or 4:30, you can wake up. Even though you don't have a waking bell, well, when the time comes, you can wake up. But that waking up doesn't come from your intention. Anyway, when something happens, you can wake up. So many conditions there. But a human being is a little bit complicated. Time, occasion, and cause and conditions crash. Change of mind, change of consciousness, and lots of heredity and the memories and customs which you have accumulated in the past, and you are connected with it. And then, you can have already time, occasion, and conditions and cause that you have accumulated already. And also you can create the time and the occasions and the cause and the conditions for future. Anyway, day by day you create. You live in a certain time and occasion, but on the other end you create new time and occasion. So when you sleep, you don't know why you sleep. But on the other hand, you can wake up anyway. So when you have a little tension before you go to bed, that day I have to get up tomorrow morning. And if you have a tension, kind of this circumstances, then naturally you can wake up when the time comes. 30 minutes before, or 10 minutes before, 5 minutes before you can wake up. But when you go home and sleep, what's the difference? Do you understand? Quite different. Even though the time comes, you still feel sleepy. But when you hear, before time comes, you can wake up. And even though you wake up, you don't feel so sleepy. So a little bit complicated situation here. But mumyomi, ignorance means it means that it is something you cannot try to wake up because you are already deluded. You are already going astray in this deluded world. But when the time comes, and when the time right, the conditions are arranged, you can wake up. So all we have to do is we try to create and produce the nice time, and nice conditions, nice occasions, etc. And then those new time and occasions and help you to wake up. So that is the mumyo. So mumyo means exactly beginnings and the endings. So that is the Arya Vijñāna, okay, Arya Vijñāna. So from this point, it's impossible for us to think samsara comes from mumyo. No. Because ignorance, mumyo, is the beginning. Because samsara exists on the same and one ground. Anyway, what you say on the one ground means that the basic state of existence, which is going constantly. Okay? This is the same on the one ground. For instance, when you were born in this world and then you have grown up to the 20 or 25, anyway, when you look back your past and you can see there are lots of changes of your life, of your physically and mentally, lots of changes. But change, idea of change, doesn't exist. Doesn't exist ignoring acceptance of the same and one ground, basically. So, unconsciously or consciously, there is already the same and one ground, which makes the change possible to be. You understand? What make it possible for change to work. So that is the same one ground. So that's why without this we can't exist. Without this samsara cannot exist. So that's why it's impossible for us to think samsara coming from ignorance. Because ignorance is beginning. No, it's not the same in one ground. So that's why very naturally it comes from Siddhantagarbha. And psychologically speaking, it is called Arya Vijñāna. Alright, and also one more point is the diffuses harmoniously with means wago in Japanese, the peaceful gathering. Literally, wago, we say wago. Wa means peace, go means together. So peaceful gathering, that is, in English we say peace and harmony. But in this book it says to diffuse harmoniously with. So this, the wago is, characteristic of wago is very interesting idea because it is kind of, constantly it is like the water, pure water. If you put the red in, whole water becomes red. And then, next moment, becomes water again. The next moment, we put the blue in, whole situation becomes blue. So whatever it is, it becomes blue or red. Always it is a water. Same base, same foundation. So when it's a blue and shows forward blue, that's it. That's all, that is all. Okay. Next morning, it shows red ink. And then forward red. But that is the same, anyway, base. And the boss has the same base. So called word. So, by ignorance, is kind of a wind. Wind comes and they naturally wave that. The next moment, if you wake up from the sleep, very naturally, that is the free from sleep, the core ignorance. Because wave comes to be calm and return to normal situation of the world. So very naturally, wago means peaceful, together means always show one act. In a moment, that time cold war becomes red or blue. Next moment, the same base. So next moment, basically always that is a word, pure. So if you return to, if you make the red ink simultaneously, it becomes red. Next moment, you can be blue. Red ink doesn't stay long. It's melted into water and disappears. Disappeared, melted away. So that ink comes into, it doesn't stay long and melted away. Next moment you can brew. You can put the brew and melt it away. But when you put the brew in, immediately it's imprint. So called water ink creates water ink imprint. But even that result, so called water ink, by which people are influenced, all that is melted away into the water and becomes pure water. So next moment you can see blue. Something like this. So that is samsara, and also absolute truth are anyway the interconnected, interacting like this. That is called diffused harmoniously with person gap inside. That is characteristic of Kathalakadava, and also short half consciousness, psychological. Okay, I want to say a little bit about the Kathalakadava. Absolute and Kathalakadava let's imagine a guitar instrument, okay? In terms of the absolute, guitar is not a particular being, it is just a being, and the same as the other being. So you can't put a certain name on it. So it's just a being. Okay, it's just a being in terms of universal point of view. It's just a being. So that is absolute or truth, you can say. But on the other hand, this oneness, so-called, just being is with something difficult to understand. It's because it's vague. So very naturally, what we can see is individual beings, individual particular beings, tables, the guitars, and the altar, and the floors, like this. That is a world we can contact with, you know, with our consciousness. So that's all. So very naturally, with the our consciousness, it's impossible to know just be as one. So very naturally, we can see different. We can see that different aspects of limits of the truth, limits of being as one, manifested in each individual being. Tree, bird, guitar. That's why we say, we put the name on it, so-called guitar. And through the guitar, we can find the being as one. So, very naturally, guitar is a Tathagata God. Okay? Guitar as a whole is a Tathagata God. But a guitar, as a Tathagata Gaba, is different as being as one. Do you understand that one? Okay. And then, next moment, anyway, Tathagata Gaba, the so-called guitar, start to work that time, next time. That is samsara. If you touch, that is a string, and if you touch the string, and guitar starts to move. The whole guitar as a whole starts to move. And then make a sound. This is called samsara. But simultaneously, string getting calm and be quiet. But even though it's quiet, it becomes a quiet, I don't think sound disappears. Still, guitar as a Tathagata Gaba still has a great capability to work, to move, making a sound. Even though no sound, it doesn't mean sound disappears. No. Still, sound is there. Voice, sound of the guitar constantly there. The next moment, if you touch it, sound comes up. So there are life and death. Affirmative and negative. Affirmative means when you touch the, anyway, the guitar, Tathagata Gaba start to work, move, and then make a sound. That is affirmative. You can see, you can hear, but the next moment, you have to understand, anyway, Tathagata Gaba, which doesn't work, means it's quiet. But even though Tathagata Gaba becomes quiet, making no sound, but it doesn't mean no sound. Still, that is, there is possibility of sound there. So then naturally, there is possibility of the sound which doesn't appear means negative. So always negative, affirmative. Yes. Life and death. Happy or not happy. The way you feel happy, that is samsara world, more happy. Still happiness there. So we should understand the samsara with two aspects, happiness and not happiness. Self-confidence or not self-confidence, always. So that is a samsaric world. So the Tathagata Gaba, when the Tathagata Gaba moves and vibrates,
always there is two aspects. It shows two aspects. Self-conscious and not self-conscious. And then through learning the both two aspects, and then you can understand the being of the one. Okay? Through the Gita. That is the relationship among the truth, the Tathagata Gaura. And then the Aravijnana try to explain how Gita works. How Gita creates sound. That is the structure of the Gita. Structure of the Tathagata Gaura. That is called Aravijnana. Aravijnana try to know structure of the Tathagata, how Tathagata works, how Gita works. That is psychological, this is used Aravijnana. Okay, do you have a question? Is that alright? Do you understand that a little different?
I have a question about ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
Is ignorance also grounded on the Absolute?
No. It is connected with Tathagata Gaura. Aravijnana, psychological truth. Not grounded, because no ground.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always involved in the Tathagata Gaura.
Mm-hmm. Because you said that it didn't produce with its samsara, so I saw it as being apart from samsara.
Not part of samsara, so already you are right in the middle of our ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
It's not part of our samsara, is not a part of our ignorance. That's what you mean? Part of our ignorance? That's what you're saying?
Well, ignorance is being not samsara, or somehow a different, not the creator of samsara, but yet I don't quite know how to say it, but apart from samsara.
Well, if you say and well, cause of samsara, I think, ignorance. Mm-hmm. If I say cause of ignorance, cause of samsara, then actually we set up a dualistic structure of the world. You know, world comes from ignorance. But practically speaking, relationship between samsara and or ignorance is not like this. Like that, always say. Ignorance is, anyway, samsara itself. But if you see samsara itself very seriously and very honestly, always looking at, if you look at the samsara world in reality with, glance. At the inside, They shut. Samsara is produced. That is, in a sense, still with the intellectual, very intellectual understanding. Do you understand? Through the actual daily life, if you really see the human life with a very clear eyes, clear mind,
very naturally you can see the cause of the samsara. If we know intellectually, then that is, we put a name on it, so called ignorance. But ignorance is, we don't know from where it comes. You understand? And then practically, that ignorance appears as, Japanese I means the attachment, very strong attachment and grasping. This is the contents of English in practical speaking. Okay? And then if you look at that, the aspect of human life based on attachment and grasping, you can see the aspect in core. That is called ignorance. And then why ignorance is created? That means according to 12 chain causation. Before ignorance, nothing. Okay. First of all, Buddha brings up for ignorance. Because when you are asleep, you don't know the world before you sleep. You understand? No, no. After awakening, and then you can know. You understand?
I was just thinking, with that samsara world, with an awakening, you would be able to see the samsara world without ignorance, because you awaken from the sleeping state, the dream.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, there can't be the same ignorance. Because samsara world always will be there because of the Pagatagarbha. Is that true?
When you wake up, there is no ignorance. So what do you mean? Would you say it?
I think that even with the clarity of an awakening, the samsara world never doesn't change, you just see it differently. Whereas with ignorance, it's more like your own perception that that can that go away?
It can't go away. Because the interest in beginning with is here. Because you are already sleeping. So, you don't know.
Well, I guess I don't understand then what the difference between ignorance and
sleep. Ignorance means when you are sleeping, you don't know the sleep, that is the ignorance. You understand? So you don't know the before the sleep and before the you don't know the world of sleep and also the world before you sleep. You don't know. In other words, here is the condition. Okay, you wake up here, you are normal, and you get into the sleep, but you don't know this one, you know, before. How you can get into the sleep, you don't know. You know, it looks like a wonderful feeling. Particularly you do zazen and concentrate, wonderful, and then sometimes you feel good, you know. But that feeling good is, you don't know from where it comes. It comes from perfect concentration or getting into the sleep. You don't know. Have you ever experienced that too? I experienced pretty often. Concentration pretty good, you know. Sometimes you feel good, wonderful, you know. But it's not a perfect concentration. It is the exact sleep. But I didn't know that. Sleep or perfect concentration, we don't know.
When you wake up about ignorance, you start awake from ignorance, you wake up about.
Yeah, when you wake up, you can be free from sleep. But it doesn't mean the immunity disappears. Still, immunity is endlessly there. That's what we have to awaken. We have to awaken here.
Put that in the Genjo point, I think, about enlightened person means enlightened about ignorance, not about enlightenment. I can't remember the exact line, but it has to do with completely awakening to ignorance and not enlightenment. Roshi, I have a question. You said the other day that the first thing we have to do is totally accept our object before we do anything else. That's what you said.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In order for me to do that, it requires great faith or great trust to totally accept every object I encounter. And from where do you get this great faith and this great trust to totally accept all your objects?
I think you should have your own eyes to see enough to see the sort of panorama picture of the human world, and then you can accept. So you can totally accept doesn't mean to accept objectively blindly. Okay? So constantly there is some question comes up, how much we should trust the object, etc. So always there is a between the subject and the object, always some problem comes up. That's they come. You cannot escape. But on the other end, if there is a question, within the question you have to trust and accept and deal with your object with a clear mind, and sometimes you devote yourself, sometimes you have a question comes up right in the middle of full devotion. Question comes up. That is always. But on the other hand, you cannot be at the ecstasy, crazy. And intoxicated in a so-called total devotion. That is the ignorance. Okay? That's where very naturally you can feel some problems. But on that, that's why we have to nurture ourselves constantly. Stand up straight and make your mind clear. That is our individual practice. So, in the process of reaching to the spiritual stage, there are always some questions comes up. Okay? How much I should devote? How much I should accept? But how many that within that question, on the other end, you have to completely accept and do it. Those two aspects come up. Do you understand?
So you're saying full devotion.
Full devotion is not the full devotion you believe, but because within the full devotion there is a question. How much? You make a question. how much I should trust object itself. Because that is a samsaric world.
Mm-hmm.
So you live already in a samsaric world.
That's not my idea of full devotion. My idea of full devotion is you don't have any room for a question to come up.
Well, that is the, in terms of a Buddha's eye, there is no space to think of it. So just total devotion. But that doesn't mean ignoring samsaric world. See? So always there is a flashing light. Is that correct? Or is that right? Or is that wrong? Always flashing light comes up. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to check, even though it is fresh light. So now it's disappeared, but it's fresh light. As long as it is, it appears as a flashing light, it is something big, so we can ignore. So still there is how much I should. Some question comes up. But strictly speaking, well, if you see that your object is totally upset, in a sense. Totally upset.
What do you do with those flashing lights? Just let them go, don't you?
Huh?
What do you do with the flashing lights that come up? You just kind of just let it come and go.
Well, it's common. Flashing light is always appears and disappears. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But it is not something you should ignore. Because it appears in front of you. So you have to pay attention to it. So in other words, saying that within the total devotion, where there is no space to think, okay, there are always flashing light, signals of flashing light there. So that is, well, samsaric world.
Mm-hmm.
But in the Buddha's eyes, completely there is a total devotion. Because whatever kind of flashing light, when you come to the intersection, you should tuck it anywhere. Stop means accept the whole devotion, whole flashing light, you know, red, blue, and the yellows, anyway, accept totally. And that's pocket, total accept. And then you can see that flashing light, blue, red, and yellow, etc. And the one more point is samadhi and also intoxication, spiritual intoxication, you know what to say. Samadhi and spiritual intoxication are quite different, right? Do you understand that one? Spiritual intoxication is still pretty good. It's not so bad, but still a little bit. You show the ignorant aspect of Tathagata. But samadhi is exactly samadhi, spiritual expectation, but it's samadhi knows what it is. This is spiritual expectation. That is a samadhi. Samadhi is you just be there, but you are sleeping, but you are not sleeping. You are awake. It's impossible in character, but it is possible with. So you can do it. That is a samadhi. So you just right, you jump into it, but you are clear. So if you read the Diamond Sutras, and Bodhisattvas, all this right in the middle of darkness, but it's not blinded by the darkness itself. And the Diamond Sutra mentions all this. So that's why samadhi is very important as well.
I want to ask a question about intoxication in general, not necessarily spiritual.
It seems to me like one thing that happens to me is that I can see that I'm intoxicated by something and that there's attachment and grasping, but that for some reason I still have to act it out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But that attachment and grasping still affects me, even though I can see that it's affecting me.
Mm-hmm.
There's a question in my mind about how to deal with it. It always seems to me like I have to just, like I say, act it out. Just even though I know that I'm being stupid, that I have to do it just to find out to get to the next place. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Is there another way to deal with that?
Well, no. All you have to do is just realize, awaken, and to it, and then again and again we have to awaken it, because the immorality is always working, beginning with the endlessly. So if you believe ignorance is always going, so let's forget it, you know. Spiritual life and becoming Buddhas. At that time, ignorance runs wildly. Okay? So, very naturally, you have to deal with ignorance every day, from moment to moment, anyway. Now, when you awaken to ignorance, at that time, well, it can be free from ignorance. In other words, as so far as awakening to ignorance, you can get the nerve.
So it's not really awakening when you just intellectually realize it. Awakening is something more than that.
Intellectually what?
Realize.
Even though I intellectually realize it, and even intellectually, if you realize it, it's fine. It is also pretty good. In other words, put the seed anywhere, plant the seed anywhere on the ground. That's good. That's good. It's better than nothing anyway. So very naturally, it will shoot anywhere. Later, the book mentions about that stuff from many times. So now, a more complicated situation, explanation comes about ignorance, and it's very interesting if you study that step by step. But this is just the introduction, so you have to make clear each term, otherwise, later you don't understand. That's why I take a lot of time to explain it. Anyway, the Buddhist practice is emphasizing to awaken, but you don't believe how important the awakening is. But if you eat, for instance, if you eat the food, one bowl of rice, even though you eat one grain of rice, it makes your stomach full. Don't you think so? So you have to eat one grain of rice anyway. Even though one by one, you should eat it. You understand? It seems to be so slow, but I don't think it is. It's very stable. Step-by-step practice. But a human being don't believe that, because human being always grasping one with attachment and grabbing, you know, four things. So it's ignorance. They understand attachment, the craving, grasping one bunch of rice, grabbing. But this is also pretty good, but on the other hand, human life can deal with in that way always. So one by one, even though you eat a grain of rice, you should believe that it is also something you eat, or it is making your stomach full. And also, at that time, a rice of grain which has been on your tray disappears simultaneously. That means intoxication disappears. If you eat the a grain of rice, means awareness. Okay? Being aware. That means eat a grain of rice. At that time, a grain of rice which was in, on the tray disappeared. You understand? And then you can feel full of the stomach. Is that all right? But the human beings believe that because we are very craving, very rushing. And we have to practice being step by step like this, because we should realize from the bottom of your heart, and samsara is grounded on anyway, ignorance. So within the ignorant world, you can't grasp the one bunch of rice and the gulping, but it's all right, but it makes you sick. So craving sometimes makes you sick. So one by one, anyway. It seems to be very slow practice, but very stable with clear awareness. That is Bodhisattva's practice. If you read them super and etc. So now later, you can awaken. Yes, it is. You can awaken. You can be free from. Okay.